Picture the office under its artificial sun, a habitat of climate control and gentle machine noise. The day begins with a choreography of calendars and prompts. A project board arranges your hours like tiles. An assistant drafts your emails before the coffee cools, and the cursor moves with a confidence that is not your own. This is efficiency, or a convincing imitation of it. The system tells you what is next, and after that, as if the future were a corridor with no doors. Then a small disturbance arrives. The assistant proposes a reply that is elegant, but it forgets what a human would remember. A promise made on last week's call. A detail that matters to someone who will read it. You feel it like a grit between teeth. You halt. You rewrite. You restore the missing thread. Nothing breaks. Nothing explodes. There is no public scene. A correction is made, and the day continues. The incident is recorded nowhere except in your nervous system. This is not quiet quitting. Quiet quitting is a retreat into the minimum, a slow withdrawal of care. Quiet cracking is the opposite. It is a minor act of guardianship performed in silence when an automated path slips away from judgment. It is the seam that shows where human time and machine time meet and do not agree. The seam opens and closes in an instant, but it leaves a trace, the way a river leaves a darker line on stone. Now imagine this happening 5 times, 10 times, every day. The tools are everywhere. They promise swiftness, and they deliver it, yet they also require you to watch them. You check the numbers the model reconciled. You read a softened sentence and hear how it erases the necessary edge. You study a timeline that clicks forward on its own and realize it has no place for a complication you can already see. The company celebrates adoption. Workers celebrate less. A quiet vigilance spreads, and with it a low, constant expenditure of attention that no one budgets for. In this light, the office feels less like a workplace and more like a testing ground for a new kind of trust. In this posture, a person can remain for months, sometimes years, until fatigue turns vigilance into fog. If there is a lesson here, it is that the quiet crack is not a defect to be patched. It is a signal sent by the last intact instruments of care. The crack is the path of entry. The crack is where the light gets in. None of this happens in a vacuum. The counting houses of strategy have already done their arithmetic. By 2030, 86% of employers expect the machinery of information to reshape the creature of business. In the short span ahead, 5 or 6 years at most, nearly 2 in 5 skills will mold and be replaced. Half of all companies say they will bend their organizations around these systems. 2/3 want to hire for the grammar of the machine. Almost 40% are preparing to thin the ranks where automation can stand in for a person. We live at a point of convergence where plans meet nerves. The memos speak of transformation. The body feels unease. Everyone is summoned to upgrade, relearn, adapt. Roles are shuffled like cards. Some hands improve. Others simply vanish. This is the climate in which the crack appears. Here is the flip side. The human animal shows signs of wear. The surveys register a small fall in global engagement, from 23% to 21%. On paper, it looks like a rounding error. In the body, it feels like the breath getting a little shorter on every step. Much of the drop begins with managers who have run out of air. When they dim, the circle around them pulls back too. The accountants say disengagement burns through hundreds of billions each year. These are numbers you cannot picture. They feel like weather you only notice when the crops fail. I have known this fatigue from the inside. Years ago, I took a job cutting commercials. The work was a metronome. Tick, tick, tick. A sequence of shots marched down a timeline toward delivery. The process was immaculate and indifferent. I watched my creative drive evaporate under the lights. There was no room for learning or reflection, only the command to move faster. We underestimate what disappears when a system worships speed. Sometimes it is quality. Sometimes it is meaning. Almost always, it is a fragment of the person doing the work. In that thinning atmosphere, quiet cracking spreads. We live inside a culture of acceleration. The clock is the hidden engine. Tasks compress into tighter shapes. Meaning thins until it feels like dry air at altitude. The sociologist Hartmut Rosa gives us a better aim. He calls it resonance, and he writes that it is a relation in which subject and world meet and transform each other. Not nostalgia, not softness. Contact that answers back, and a change you can feel in your hands. I learned this the hard way. After a season of digital burnout, I picked up a Super 8 camera. The machine is awkward and physical. The film resists you. You count frames with your fingertips. Later you splice and listen for the tiny click when two pieces join. The slowness wakes your attention. Give the human hand a place to grip. Let the tools show their working so a person can argue with them and be changed by the argument. You can see the same drama in our stories. In the television series Alien Earth, the border of human and machine is crossed again and again. First the graft, then the migration. Flesh learns metal. Mind treats the body like hardware. The corporation names the body a platform and the self an upload. It plays as horror because it is a mirror. The office is the laboratory. Cyborg is our present. The system suggests. You judge. It speaks in probabilities. You carry the consequences. Fatigue becomes quiet cracking. The pause before approval. The second read. The unpaid audit of the future. Transhumanism waits with a smooth promise. Move judgment into the machine. Relief arrives and presence thins. Responsibility goes off screen. A human remains at the seam, half in the current, hand on the lever. Hybrids walk without a map. So do we. Tools ask for trust they have not earned. Where the why is absent, dread grows. Hesitation is conscience, the last instrument still in tune. Design must meet the seam. Re-enchantment begins where opacity ends. Make the why visible. Leave time for judgment. Make the handoff felt. Let consent mean something. Add off-ramps and reversibility. Treat explanation, recovery, and refusal as features. We are becoming people who still insist on meaning. Build for that insistence. Keep contact and response at the center. Here is the repair. First, make the seams visible. Do not hide model confidence or the reasons behind a recommendation. Put them in the line of work where a person can see them. The machine must speak in daylight. Next, shape decision ergonomics. Pair every suggestion with an alternative and a counterexample. Give the worker a brief argument to hear before pressing accept. A small debate at the point of action costs seconds and saves hours. Protect time for judgment. Create slow lanes for the messy and the consequential. Set human in the loop as a standard, not a slogan. Make high-impact choices reversible. Decide who may override and keep a clear record. Reward sharp catches as part of performance, not as quiet heroism. Finally, Build psychological safety into the schedule. Give teams a regular blame-free place to say the tool was wrong and to show where it went astray. In that light, the cracks stop being private failures. They become sensors, early tremors that tell you where to shore up the structure before the fault gives way. If you want to repair a structure, you have to hear the tremor. Start by making the signal visible. Notice how often people override the machine. Watch the quiet rework that follows an automated handoff. Pay attention to pauses when someone chooses to step out of the system. Compare the time it takes to resolve a case before and after algorithmic management arrives. Ask, in short pulse questions, whether it still feels safe to say the tool was wrong. Do not only count, collect incidents. Keep the near miss, the quiet correction. The moment a perfect-looking number did not smell right, these are seismographs made of stories. They tell you where the surface is thin. Quiet cracking is not defiance. It is a form of care that surfaces when the workflow forgets what humans know. If we make the seams visible, protect time for judgment, and keep our ears tuned to the faint clicks under the ice, those small sounds become guidance. That is reenchantment in practice, not myth. Craft.